Good afternoon. May God bless you. What great joy. What excitement that we feel. Isn't that so, brothers and sisters?
These are our true celebrations. Glory to the Lord. Today we are in a celebration with the Lord. And these are the moments of greatest happiness when we have these surprises. Our sister Mary Louisa visited not long ago and held a Bible study in Fontibon, Bogota. And this time around, she said, I'm going to go to La Granja. Sister loves you very much. Glory to God. Sister Mary Louisa, this is the fruit of all your labor. Sister works tirelessly. Sister Mary Louisa strives so much, and she is a very disciplined person. Sister focuses because she loves the Lord with all her strength. And she gives her all for God. Her day revolves around the Lord and the children of God. And that's why we see what we see. This is the fruit of her work. Glory to the name of the Lord. It is truly a wonderful example that our Sister Mary Louisa sets for us. Let us dedicate to our God this moment, this wonderful Bible study, this gathering, and let us dedicate this moment with all our hearts with our brother Andres. Go ahead, brother.
So let us pray and let us say to him, God of glory, good Father, great Father, great and wonderful you are, O Lord. How can we not worship you? How can we not glorify you? How can we not give you the glory and the honor? If you can see, O Lord, that thanks to your name, thanks to everything we live here in the midst of your house, look at the lines today. Look at all these believers that are eager to want to enter and come in and enjoy this great spiritual feast. Because, Lord, you are the one who draws us close to you. You, O Lord, are the one who has won over heart after heart, mind after mind, and you have allowed each of us to truly have a desire to love you and follow you and value you. And that is why today we want to give you this moment.
We ask you, Lord, that you give us much wisdom, that you give us much intelligence, and that you give us great spiritual abilities so that all the knowledge that we're about to receive stays in our hearts. So that the verse of the Bible be fulfilled, which states, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. May our hearts be filled of that knowledge of all the things our Sister Mary Louisa teaches us, all the things that you, God, reveal to her, plays in her mouth, in her lips, in her heart, which are like a fountain that flows and flows and flows, like springs of water that are renewed. And all the effort from our sister, Lord, so much love toward the people of God from her, all her dedication to you, dedication towards the people of God. Lord, may we pay you back, and may we lead a righteous life, behave well, so that you, Lord, and our sister feel proud of us and her work. And may we keep everything in our hearts, and may we put it all into practice. May it be so. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Blessed is our God.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Are we happy? There we go. Let us read in the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew, chapter 22.
Which is very much related, Brother Andres, to what we were discussing earlier about the characteristic love from our sister Mary Louisa toward God. Because if someone were to ask us, give us or tell us a quality of Sister Mary Louisa, we would say her profound love that our sister has for God and for the brothers and sisters, for the church and humankind in general. This is what we're going to read here in these verses. That's why we also see God's support and God's blessings, meaning, as Brother Andres was saying, looking at the long lines of people who thirst and hunger for the things of God, that's not easy. That's something you earn before God. It is as it truly is, that what we have here is truly great and truly beautiful. And here we genuinely enjoy delicacies that are very delicious. Glory to the Lord.
And that is called being blessed. Amen, brothers and sisters. Blessed, the blessed of God. So let us read in chapter 22, verse 36. Are we all in the reading?
Amen.
It states, for the glory and honor of God. They asked Jesus, notice what they asked him, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And what did Jesus say? You may read.
This is the first and great commandment.
The easiest one. We must also fulfill that one. Amen, my brothers and sisters. And it states, on these two commandments hang all the what?
Glory.
Amen. Glory to the Lord.
Amen.
Everything summarized
yes,
there.
That's everything. And it is what our sister Maria Luisa always teaches us, but setting an example. Glory to the Lord. You may take your seats, brothers and sisters. We are going to sing a few hymns that are very beautiful, hymns that have to do with a profound love toward God. And here, we'll revere and worship Him. Agreed? We worship Him with all the strength of our hearts, with all our mind, with all our soul. Glory to God. It is titled,
I Will Praise Him, hymn 191. And that is why we have come, to praise that great God, that great King. Let us sing with all due understanding and intelligence, and let us make an effort. Let us sing this hymn 191.
God, as we go, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Who among you praises and blesses the Lord?
Amen.
Who among you is thankful with the Most High?
Amen.
Who among you loves God profoundly?
Amen.
Let us sing a hymn that talks about that as well, about loving God. It is very beautiful, very romantic, and the title is very beautiful.
It is titled, I Need Thee Every Hour. And here, the children of God, we do love and we do want the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
He is our everything. Isn't that so? He is our path, our truth, our deliverer, our doctor, our advocate. when God has truly removed veils, he becomes our everything. Isn't that so, brothers and sisters? So let us sing to him and let us dedicate to the Lord this hymn 47, I Need Thee Every Hour.
Let us all worship the Lord, brothers and sisters, each one, as you are, saying glory to God, praises to the Lord. How great you are, my God. We love you. We worship you. Blessed is the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That hymn is very romantic.
Amen.
Are there words that you thought were romantic? Two words that were romantic.
Amen.
When it states, I need thee, but then the one it says, the expression, every hour I need thee. When you need something that deep, that profound, it's in your soul. Glory to the Lord.
Amen.
Let us stand and let us sing choruses to prepare ourselves for the God who lives. And what if we do so by singing chorus number 3? Pay tribute to whom? To the Lord, O soul of mine. That's why we have come, to pay tribute to him, but also to learn. When we learn, we have more knowledge. And that way, we worship him with more intelligence, with more conviction. Amen, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
Let us sing this chorus number 3. Pay tribute to the Lord, O soul of mine.
My life.
How great is the Lord! How beautiful it is to worship God! And let us sing, lastly, chorus number...
Chorus 135, Be Eager to Do Your Outmost. And we're going to put into practice what we read, being diligent to present ourselves approved to God. So let us sing this chorus, chorus 135.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. 1,000 times thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Look at your people who love you, who worship you. Look at them all blessing your name.
Be eager to your utmost to present yourself to God. Be eager to do your utmost to present yourself.
Continue being eager to please whom? Knowing the gospel and the doctrine, and not just being hearers, but also what? Doers of that word of God. And for that, how beautiful it is to receive our beloved sister Maria Luisa. May God bless you all.
Good evening, beloved brothers and sisters from here in the Church of La Granja, as well as all of the guests that come from the other churches. Welcome to this place. Welcome because each one of you are going to receive blessings from heaven. You may be seated, brothers and sisters. Thanks be to our God. We're going to reflect upon the word of the Lord here in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 7 in order to go ahead and listen to the questions that you have today. Let us open up to Luke chapter 7. Our Lord Jesus Christ evangelizing, speaking and teaching his disciples and to the people that listened to him. And it says in verse 1, Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. It says that he was a servant of a centurion. But this servant was dear to him. It seemed as though he was faithful and a good worker, and this is why his boss loved him, and he was dear to him. And he was ready to die. So when the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word," he says, "just say the word, and my servant will be healed." In this moment, this centurion realized that the Lord Jesus Christ was an important person. He was a prophet. He saw that he was a prophet and that he had God. And that is why he said, "Say the word, and he will be healed." Let us remember, brothers and sisters, that the Lord has always taught us, has always made us promises. The Holy Spirit, when he speaks to us, the doctrine that we have learned and we are here now spreading, we are understanding that in the church, our God has placed the Holy Spirit and his marvelous gifts, and that in Ephesians 4:11, the Lord says that he placed in his church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They all do the same work, all have the same spiritual gifts, and our God gives them his support. He authorizes them to just open their mouths, and that things may happen, that miracles and healing occur. We must not doubt that as the human beings that we are, we may be able to attain these blessings, that we may be able to receive or to have these blessings in our spiritual lives. Let us not doubt. What we do have to do is to turn away from evil, to turn away from all that is wrong, so that this way God may use us, just as the promise is found in Ephesians 4:11. And I know that in all of these years that I have been here with the Lord, with the brothers and sisters, with people, reading the Bible, living and seeing all of the spiritual experiences and miracles that God has worked, all that God has done among us, I have realized that God has been fulfilling these promises found in Ephesians 4:11 in many different brothers and sisters. Do not doubt or say that we are unworthy, but we ought to examine ourselves, examine our lives, so that we may be honest people in all sense of the word. And this way, we are able to receive that benefit, which is God's support. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ, because our Lord Jesus Christ behaved as a human being to give us that example. It happens to us. It happens to us also where someone says, "Just speak to me. Just say something to me. God will be supporting that word." And that is how it's happened, brothers and sisters. I am a witness to these things. That is why when I read this, it doesn't seem strange to me at all that the centurion said, "Lord, just say the word. Do not come to my home because I am not worthy for you to enter my house. But from where you are, speak and your word will be steadfast and your word will do the work. Your word will be fulfilled." Nowadays, God also does this with us. Today, God will give us those spiritual gifts, and He is also going to make it so that our word may be steadfast, and that it may not be our word, but God speaking through our mouths. Therefore, when we say the word is steadfast, it isn't that it's a human being's word, but God using my mouth to speak in order, or to give a blessing, or to give something to someone, and the person will receive it. That has also happened today. Therefore, we read here and we see how God is so great, and the Bible says that He is the same yesterday and today. And He will be the same tomorrow in the future. He is the same. He does not change. He has not changed. His power has been the same. His manifestation the same. Therefore, the honor to our God, and this helps us so that we may be motivated to seek the deep things of God, to seek the spiritual gifts, the deep doctrine, to mature, to turn away from pride, arrogance, vainglory, to turn away from so many things that tie us down and prevent us from receiving God's blessings. So here, this man says, "Say the word, and my servant will be healed." So in verse 8, he says, "For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Because this man was not a Jew. He was a foreigner. And the Lord said that he was marveled because that man was not an Israelite. He was not of the people of the Lord. And he believed in Jesus Christ. He believed that Jesus Christ was an important person. He was a prophet and he had God. And so God blessed him. And it says that when he went home, he found the servant well who had been sick. He was healed because God had worked a miracle, but here we are highlighting the word. Say the word. You do not need to come here. You do not need to lay hands on me. Say the word only, and that is how things will be. Do you want God to use you this way? Very well. Then, let us examine our lives. Let us see what our flaws are, weaknesses, imperfections, shortcomings in our spiritual lives. What do we have left to change? Is there a trace of envy? Is there a trace of mistrust, hate, vengeance, grudges? Is there pride, greed, covetousness, deceit, scam, lie? What could be left there for us to turn away from? So that God may use us. What is the work of an apostle? An apostle has all of the spiritual gifts. What is the work of an apostle? The apostle has all of the spiritual gifts. What is the work of an evangelist? He has all of the spiritual gifts. The teacher, what do? They have all of the spiritual gifts. So, brothers and sisters, look at the marvels that God offers us, what He has for us. Don't you think that we should fight in order to attain His wonders? Amen. Let us love our God. Let us be honest. Honesty entails everything. To be honest in all aspects of life so that God may come to us and may bless us and support us. The Lord has been manifesting Himself in this time, in the time of the pandemic, manifesting Himself, and He has done so with sermons, with the teaching, with all of the effort that each one of you and I have made in order to serve God, and so that people may hear the word of God. And that desire, that fervor, that devotion is what God sees, and that is why God has kept us, He has supported us, and blessed us greatly. He has blessed many people who are still not here in church, but they were just hearers or who would log on to the internet to watch the sermons. And people tell us all of the miracles and blessings that God gave during the pandemic. And after the pandemic, in many churches, many people have come for the first time who were evangelized through a screen. Thanks be to our God. Thanks be to God, the word that is supported by God. So you, brothers and sisters, make an effort. And if you want to receive blessings from the Lord, because you say, I want God to heal me. I want for God to open doors for me with a job. I want God to give me happiness and joy in my marriage. I want God to remove all of the problems and tribulations that I have and illnesses. I want all of this. Well, we have to trust in God, but we also have to be in good standing, reflect, and see what we are failing God with. That is why we live stagnant and we see as if God does not listen to our prayers or does not act in our lives. No, we have to do these things. We cry out to God, we pray, we trust in God, but we also have to examine ourselves to change every day and to be better every day. That my God may bless each and every one of you. May God work many miracles in your hearts and in your families. Therefore, in this moment, I don't know if we should sing a chorus to our Lord. Let us sing that chorus that says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, all you nations. Since the church of the Lord is in different towns, in different cities, even if they are small congregations, but God is there in those people's hearts. Let us sing to the Lord that chorus. We are going to sing chorus 80, chorus 80. Our God, you may be seated. And now we are going to begin the question segment in this evening.
Good evening. Welcome to the church in La Granja. We love you in the Lord. And I want to start, if you would allow me, sister, in Proverbs chapter number 29, verse number 18.
Proverbs 29. Yes, brother.
Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. My question is in regards to what we have seen regarding the spiritual cooling, especially after the pandemic, sister. We have seen a lot of the spiritual cooling amongst our youth. And sister, in your infinite wisdom, and with the mercy of my Heavenly Father, could you please teach us how can we support and teach our children considering that this situation has caused conflict or friction within the parents, and we desire the spiritual growth of the entire family. Thank you very much, sister.
Parents should be faithful to God. Faithfulness, dedication, sincerity, and love, and the willingness with which you live before God and you dedicate yourselves to God, that is what counts. When parents love God, they seek Him and they trust in Him, God then will not allow for them to suffer through the stubbornness and folly and rebelliousness of their children. Perhaps for some time, God will allow for these young people to live their stubbornness or their folly. But since God is looking at their parents' faithfulness and honesty, God wants to bless those parents. God wants to reward those parents. He rewards them. God tells this mother and father and says, "You have been faithful to me. You love me. You seek me with all of your heart. You make an effort. And I'm going to bless you through your children. Do not worry, because one day I'm going to remove their stubbornness, rebelliousness, and folly, and they will return to my ways." That is what the Lord has told many parents. You see, brothers and sisters? But when those parents have not converted to God, but they are foolish as well, and in their homes they have discord, disagreements, misunderstandings, infidelity, disorder, a lack of responsibility, and many flaws within their home, then God cannot bless them and allows them to be punished with the stubbornness and folly of their children. That is what happens. Therefore, when you have your children and you are in this stage of misbehavior, analyze yourself and think, "Am I failing God? I want to deserve God's blessings. I want to be worthy for God to bless me through my children." And pray to God and be in good standing in every aspect. Pray and cry out to the Lord, and God will bless you, and they will return one day and turn them into good children. You must not be discouraged. When we are with God, we live with God, everything is possible because God is power and He can transform lives and hearts. So do not worry about your child's folly and rebelliousness in this moment, because one day they will return and God will reward those parents. Because of their search and the effort they have made in order to seek God. Therefore, there is no need to feel discouraged. Very well, let us continue with another question.
Good evening, Sister Mary Luisa. We thank God for having a prophetess in this time and age. We are greatly privileged.
No, sister, that here in the church, there are many prophetesses. There are many prophetesses,
glory
okay?
to God.
So, look for them. Very well. That makes me very happy, because in many churches, there are prophetesses that God uses. Perhaps, of course, logically, God places one person as a leader. There can't be more than one leader, but that means that there are many behind them. Therefore, sister, this work is not only for Maria Luisa, but for you all as well, men and women, prophets and prophetesses.
Thank you. Very well.
What the sister wants to say is thank you, because God told me to take the reins, which is something different. Very well, sister.
Sister, you've taught us that we are kings and priests for the Lord. In antiquity, the kings led the people in battle and also guided them to follow God's ordinances. And the priest ministered all the holy things for the Lord. I want to know, in this time and age, what are the roles and tasks that we have in church as kings and priests?
Well, as priests, we ought to serve God by ministering to God continuously, every day of our lives. We are ministering to the Lord, praying, worshiping, believing, trusting in Him, reading the Bible, changing our lives, living a better life, working the spiritual gifts, evangelizing, speaking to people about God, laying on of hands. When God gives us the gift of healing, then we lay hands and we work and serve God. That is the work of priests today. And as kings, we also ought to fight against the enemy. Every day, we are fighting constantly against the enemy. And we are fighting. And that is why it says that we ought to be like soldiers of Jesus Christ with an armor placed upon us, because every day we ought to fight against our enemy. And there we are also working as the work that the kings had to confront in war. Today, they are spiritual wars against the enemy. But we ought to have our trust placed in God, to have God so that He may give us victories and triumph against the battles we have with the enemy every day of our lives. Very well, let us continue.
Sister Maria Luisa, good evening. May God continue to bless you, support you, and give you many more years of life. Sister Maria Luisa, my question is found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 31 through 34, where our Lord Jesus Christ came across two demon-possessed men, and He delivers them. But those demons go to a herd of swine, which then throw themselves off a steep place. Sister Maria Luisa, in verse number 34, it reads, "And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw Him, they begged Him to depart from their region." Sister Maria Luisa, why is it that today, as it happened back in that time in that city, despite the many miracles that the Lord performs, people prefer to not believe and prevent the Lord from coming to that holy city in the spiritual sense, which means our lives? Sister Maria Luisa, how can we move those hearts? What can we do? Sister Maria Luisa, may God continue to bless you.
Thank you. Well, what to do? Let's say that all of these occurrences at that time leave us an example that just as it happened with our Lord Jesus Christ, where they rejected Him, they did not believe in Him, they slandered Him, they disparaged Him, many people were rebellious and stubborn and they did not want to believe. Today, it is the same. But what does God teach us? The Lord says that we ought to press on. We ought to be faithful and steadfast. We must not be discouraged nor falter. When one sees these things, to not be discouraged, but to press on. Some believe, others don't. But we continue on our way, and we continue to do the works that God has ordered us to do. We continue to do our work. There is no reason why to become discouraged, because all of these things happen to the Lord Himself. So how much more to us, His followers? It happens to us as well. And there we learn. And we also learn about faithfulness and steadfastness, that they are important for God to see that His children or His followers may be steadfast and to press on His way, overcoming any obstacle that they find, where they find on that way, which are many. And daily we find obstacles and impediments, but we will be there at the front line with the Lord in that battle against the enemy, and on the way, following the way, walking toward eternal life. That is what is important. Therefore, let us press on and continue to love God. That is the important thing. Let us continue. Let us continue with another question. Yes, sister?
Sister Maria Luisa, good evening. The church in La Granja feels very happy to have you here. Sister, many years ago, I had great sadness. And during a worship service, I told the Lord, Lord, if you were to hug me, I think that that sadness will go away. And that evening, he gave me a dream with you, where you would hug me. And the only thing that you said to me was, sister, sister. And from that moment on, the sadness went away.
Well, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, because the Lord does the work for me since I can't do it. He can do it. He does everything. And that is why we ought to love the Lord so much and to give him thanks for his blessings. We ought to trust the Lord. We ought to trust in him. Yes, sister.
Sister, so then I said, well, in order to thank the Lord for all that he does for us, I'm going to search throughout the Bible how to praise him. Here I have some passages, but from Genesis to Revelation, we find praises to the Lord. So then my question is, why is it that when we read the Bible, it's difficult to understand it? It seems as if we're not learning how to praise the Lord. So how can we understand it better in our heart?
Well, the sister says that she finds it difficult to understand. We read the Bible and it seems to be difficult to understand. And yes, it is difficult, really. But when we want to please God and we live a righteous life before him, then God enlightens us and he makes it so that we understand the scriptures. Although there are many mysteries, yet the little that we understand comes to our heart, and from there we understand and we say, I have learned to worship God, to glorify God. I have learned to pray. I have learned to trust in the Lord. We ought to continue to read the Bible. Continue to read the Bible again and again. And do not worry if you do not understand it all, because something will remain in your heart and in your mind. Do not worry. Press on and make an effort. There are many blessings for you and your family. Press on. Let us continue around there. Let us continue. Yes, brother.
Sister Maria Luisa, good evening. May God continue to bless you. Amen. Today, all the brothers and sisters here of La Granja and all of our visitors, our hearts are overflowing with joy because you're here with us once again. Sister, I have a question in Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 4.
Yes, brother.
Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Sister, you have taught us that the soul that is not upright is rebellious, and that the just that shall live by his faith is the one who believes in the gospel. Sister, I would like if you could please explain a little bit further, if those who once came to know God and then turned back are included in this, and if those who are upright and that live by their faith are those who follow the Lord.
But when you say those who believed, are you speaking about the people who have converted to the gospel?
Yes, ma'am. Those who...
And turned back.
Exactly.
Okay. What happens to them, or...
Well, yes, sister. Is it that their souls were filled with pride?
Surely, but we are not going to judge. It is not up to us to judge, and much less to speculate and saying he is going to condemn himself or he is condemned. We have to continue. In this verse in Habakkuk, when it says that the just shall live by his faith, he is saying that in the future, which was after the Lord Jesus Christ, when he began to form his church, to preach his word, his gospel, then all of those who would believe in him, which believing in Jesus Christ is to believe that Jesus Christ was sent from God, that he is God, and that he is the Son of God, That is what they had to believe, and that was faith. And by that faith, people would live eternally and will live for eternity. Because from there, they begin to live a life for God. But yes, there are many people who begin the way. Apparently, they say that they believe and they seek and they continue for some time, but then they turn back and they do not return to seek the way of the Lord. Then it is up to God to see what he does with them. But we ought to press on so that this verse may be fulfilled. Because when it says, but the just shall live by his faith, it means eternally. We are still on this earth, so we ought to be faithful and press on so that one day we may live in eternity with God. Let us continue.
Sister Maria Luisa, good evening. The Church in La Granja welcomes you with great affection, and we thank God for your presence this evening. Sister, on a personal note, I wanted to tell you that I love very much everything from God. I love his institutions, the church, the Maria Luisa Foundation, and the Mira Party. Sister, I have a profound love for the Mira Political Party. And with this context, I wanted to say of how do we go about, or how do we ask God to touch hearts and to give people the understanding for the Mira Party. Elections are coming up, and we see how the brothers and sisters, perhaps they don't want to stop at the door whenever we approach them. Thank you, sister.
Well, which brothers? You say that...
The brothers and sisters that come to church.
I didn't understand.
Well, since we're in the midst of the campaign, I wanted to ask you about it. Because whenever we are sharing information about the Maria Luisa Foundation, they do stop to listen. But when we're carrying out tasks for the Mira Party, many of them come out and they say, no, I've done my part, and whatever it may be. So it's as if they give us excuses, and that's my question.
People, generally, have always fled from politics. And people have lived many bad experiences with all types of rulers in political parties. And that aftermath remains in people. Unfortunately, in our congregation, people feel that aftermath. They need to flee and not believe because the person says, I don't believe in that, because they think that that is bad, that it is a sin. And they have a misconceived notion where they say, how are they going to mix politics with religion? That is a misconceived notion. That is wrong, because politics and religion have always gone hand in hand since Adam and Eve. Since Adam and Eve. When humankind began, there were people, and over those people, there was a ruler or a king, and they were the ones to judge, and they also served as priests, kings, patriarchs, rulers. They did all of this, and they created laws. They made their laws. And when God formed the people of Israel, he gave them the laws. And so God said, you ought to fulfill with all of these requirements, with all of these laws. He who does not fulfill it is an offender and will be punished. And also, the Lord placed in the spiritual part his priests. And so, generations passed, and the world had continued until a time came where society, where people decided to turn away because religion and politics ruled together. And they decided that they had to turn away. Okay, that's fine. They separated religion on one side and politics on another. But we came across something that God wants us to do. We, without knowing, and also being a bit skeptical in terms of politics, as it happened to me, where I never voted for anyone. And when the Lord begins to speak to us and show us and reveal that he wanted for us to work in the government, in the political field, that we needed to work, that we needed to get involved in that role, because God wanted to show honesty. He wanted to show honesty to people, at least to the nation. At least to show the nation that there are honest people that work with love for others. That is what God has taught us, and he gave us guidelines, and he has taught us, and he continues to teach us. Therefore, we, without wanting to be involved in these things, he involved us. And out of obedience, we are fighting and we are working, and truly, we have seen fruits, because the other rulers or other political parties, they have realized how we, our party, are responsible, serious, honest people who aren't after money, who aren't bribing or being bribed. But everything is done legally and fair, and people see that example. And that is what God wants. God doesn't want people to turn into a person who's going to go to a high position and earn millions and millions. No, that is not what God wants. God wants to show honesty and honor in people that it does exist in the political field. That is what God wants to show. Therefore, in the church, there are many people that come from different types of circles, from different beliefs, and they belong to any political party. There are many people who come to receive prophecy and to receive benefits from God. And they do not pay attention to doctrine, to what God teaches. And when God speaks and teaches and gives orders, they do not pay attention that we ought to obey God. And to please God, although I don't like it, I want to please God, and I will be involved, and I will do it, Lord, because you have said it. And since you have said it, I am going to do it, Lord. Although I do not agree, although I do not like this, because I see that people lie and people promise and they say so many lies, but Lord, since you said it, I will support that, your word. If all of the believers thought in this way and understood it this way, they would receive benefits and blessings from God in many aspects of their lives. But out of negligence, since there is negligence in many, saying, no, I'm going to vote for so-and-so because all of my life I've always belonged to this party, to this purple party, to this beige party, and that's it. No one can change that. And so they come to church and they say, I want prophecy because I want God to heal me, to bless me. I want God to make promises to me. I want him to give me gifts. But it turns out that God wants for you to support the party. And he says, no, I am part of the beige, or I am part of the purple party. And so God is looking at that in that person. And God does not give them the blessing because they are a stubborn person, rebellious, and an unbeliever, perhaps has a hardened heart. And that is what you see at the door, sister. That is what you see at the door. So don't worry. Don't suffer or feel bitter because of this. It is God who does everything at the end. God is the one who does his will. He does his will. If God wants for it to be one, then he allows it to be one. And if he doesn't want to, then at this moment, he won't let them win and they will be held back a bit. But God's will is done. And the most beautiful thing is that we, human beings, obey and always unite with God and please him. Lord, if this is your will, if you were the one who ordered this party to be created, then, Lord, I am going to support with my vote because you said it, Lord. It's simply that. And so God is going to be pleased. He's going to say, this person is obeying me in a small thing. So in greater things, he's going to obey me and I'm going to bless him greatly. And so, brothers and sisters, do not worry. God has the last word. But that we may learn that when God speaks and when God gives orders, we ought to fulfill those orders word for word, and we ought to unite with God if we want to triumph in our spiritual lives and material lives as well. This is what this means. Let us continue. Yes, brother.
Good evening, sister. May God bless you. It's a great joy to have you here with us in the Church of La Granja. I know it's a promise fulfilled for many of our brothers and sisters here in La Granja. Sister, I have a question based on the Bible found in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 through verse 4.
Brother.
It reads in for the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. In various occasions, Sister Maria Luisa, you have taught us that light represents our Lord Jesus Christ, and that darkness represents the devil. For this reason, sister, we understand that at that time, the wicked one had already rebelled against God. And I have another biblical passage to complement the question. In Ezekiel chapter number 28, in verses 16 and 17, it reads the following. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings, that they might gaze at you. My question is the following, sister. Rather, humanity as a whole came to know good and evil after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. But my question is the following, sister. Did God leave his angels the understanding of good and evil, but did they not know how to put it to practice? And if they had or have free will so that they can make their own decisions, why or who tempted the devil so that he would rebel? Thank you very much, Sister Marie. God continue to bless
you. In Ezekiel, it doesn't tell us who was the one who taught the devil or told him or encouraged him. It only says that he was filled with pride. It says that the devil was filled with pride and he wanted to be the same as God. He wanted to sit in God's throne. That is the only thing that the Bible teaches us. And we cannot go and invent something else. Surely God allowed him, since he had free will, he planned these things. God saw, surely, that he was inclined to do this. We do not know why God allows it, but from that moment on, there is good and evil, light and darkness before creation. Before Genesis, before the creation, there was a rebellion that there had been in heaven of the devil, who was a very beautiful cherub who was covered with precious stones. God had given him the best things, and he wanted to be the same as God because God gave him much power. And so we have that powerful enemy that is the only thing that we know, and that God casted him to the ground with his followers, and after that is when the Lord created the universe. Well, I do not know in depth what the question of the brother was. I didn't understand it well.
No, yes, sister, it's okay. You answered it. Thank you very much, sister.
Very well. Let us continue.
Sister, good afternoon. The church in La Granja rejoices with your presence and the presence of those that are with you. Sister Maria Luisa, I was reading Exodus 33, and I see in you all of the efforts that you've made for all of us so that we may be where we're at, spiritually speaking. In Exodus 33:14, God says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Sister, what I pray to God for is that this people that He has given you to evangelize, that we do not cause you any problems. My deepest desire is that when you visit any of our church locations, we have prepared our heart for God, and that all of the wisdom and love that you have for God may remain in our hearts, that we may rejoice with your presence, that there's no jealousy, envy, disputes, strifes, or complaints among us. Sister Mary Lisa, what can we do as the people of God whom you've been appointed to guide so that we do not cause you the problems that the people of Israel caused Moses, and that you may rest in the Lord?
Well, fortunately, today it's different. In Moses' time, if someone sinned, God would punish the entire people because everyone would receive that punishment, and Moses also would receive punishment for the people and for him as well. He would suffer the consequences. Today, in the gospel of the Lord, in the gospel, it says that each person is responsible before the Lord. Each person is responsible. And in the church today, we have the help of the Holy Spirit, the help of the spiritual gifts, God's help. We have God's help. When we are with God's help, it is marvelous because everything is perfect. Wishing with all of our heart, and that you also who wish to serve God, those who wish and want to be here, at a pulpit, presiding a congregation, those who want this work have to be honest, have to live with God, to have God so that God may be with you, may give you the word and revelation and give you the knowledge and ability, that He may give you everything, the answers, that He may tell you what you ought to do. That is what is important. That is what we ought to do. While those who are here are clothed with the power from God. So there is no worry because each person is responsible. Listen to the teaching and each person will know whether they do it or not. And so they are responsible with God. He who is here has the responsibility of being an example. That would be the responsibility, to be an example, to be a role model. That is what we should be worried about. Other than that, do not worry, because it is God who does the work in each heart, in each life, and He removes, if there is someone who does not deserve to be in the congregation, God removes them, and we don't even know who it is. And if God wants to bless and to bring people, He brings them, because He has promised that He Himself would bring people to church. He would be converting hearts. So that is why we should not be worried, those who are to be on the pulpit serving God. But we ought to serve God truly. Very well, let us continue. Let us continue. Yes, brother.
Sister Maria Luisa, good evening. May God continue to bless you forevermore, to fill you with joy and happiness, both in you and your sons, your daughters, your close helpers, and all of those who love you very dearly. May God bless you greatly. There's a passage that I think personally is very beautiful, and I'd like to refer it regarding you. The scripture states in Joel chapter 2, verse 13, speaking of the Lord, that He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And later, it poses a question: who knows if He will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind Him? And we see this here. The Church of La Granja is greatly blessed with your visit, but both Bogota and the entire country of Colombia is greatly blessed with your visit. Every time that you come here. We have seen, sister, that with your visit, this happens. God passes by and leaves behind him great blessings. May God continue to bless you, sister. Sister, I would like if you could please teach us regarding one of the hidden sins that you had mentioned in the beginning of the service, of which you teach us frequently, in particular, the sin of envy. And I would like to, if you allow me, sister, to refer to a single verse in Ezekiel chapter number 31 in verse number 9, considering that I find this verse very interesting because it teaches something about envy. The Bible states here in this passage, once again, Ezekiel chapter number 31, verse number 9, regarding the devil, the Bible states, "I made it beautiful with a multitude of branches, so that all the trees of Eden envied it, that were in the garden of God." So if you could please, based on this verse, teach us regarding envy.
I thought that that is when the sin of envy was created. Well, the sin of envy, yes. Envy is a very common flaw among people. I say that I have felt sin at some point, once or twice, and I corrected myself. And you realize when you feel envy. You realize it. When you feel in your heart something against someone else, you say, "Why do I feel something against this person?" And so you analyze yourself and you say, "No, it seems to be envy. I'm going to keep myself from this. I'm going to ask the Lord to deliver me from this because I do not want to feel envy about anything or anyone." And I was delivered. God delivered me. He delivered me. I can say that I do not have that weakness of envy in me. On the contrary, when someone triumphs, when someone ranks the highest places, when someone is awarded, when someone is given the best, when someone has the best, they buy the best, they live in the best, I am not envious. I'm happy for them. And I'm happy that they live this way in those circumstances, that they have things, that they may enjoy things. And so, surely, God allows us to live many things in life and to change so that we are able to teach. Because if we never live or have experiences, how are we going to teach? How are we going to feel? Or how are we going to put ourselves in other people's shoes if we've never lived any situation? And well, that is about envy. God removed that from me, but because I made an effort, because I acknowledged, I realized and I told the Lord that I did not want to feel this. And the Lord helped me, and he removed that spirit. Also, one time, the Lord spoke to me. I remember that one time around Pereira, Colombia, someone prayed for me and said, "You need to have love for everyone because you still lack love." And I began to analyze and think, what could it be concerning love? And then suddenly, I remembered that I was angry. I felt resentful against someone. And that person, I felt that I didn't like them. I said, "I don't like them." And I said, "That is what God is talking about." And so that is lack of love. That is lack of mercy, to have patience, to overlook everything. And perhaps that person has done something for me to feel that way about them, but the Lord taught me to forgive, to forget, to not pay any attention to these things, to ignore them. And that's it. That is that person's problem and not mine. And God also cleansed me from that flaw or that spirit, whatever it may be. And so that has helped me as well to teach my brothers and sisters, those who are near me, those who ask me, those who I have the opportunity to discover if they feel envy, when I discover that they feel resentment or they're hurt because of someone, the Lord reveals this to me. And then I teach them and I say, you have this, but change. Do not harbor this, because that prevents you from receiving blessings from God, receiving spiritual gifts, having spiritual progress. That prevents you from all of these things. So change and do not be this way. Remove that from your heart. And that is what I tell you, brothers and sisters. It's this. God allows us to do things, to fall in a mistake, but we ought to acknowledge it, to change. He helps us. And then we help others with spiritual gifts. God is also going to give us that discernment so that we are able to discover things in our lives and other people's lives, those bad things, those flaws that are not good for us, and allow us to correct ourselves in time. And I give thanks to God, because that is why I'm always so marveled every day, seeing the works that he does, seeing how he changes us and transforms us. And now we are going to give thanks to our God for this opportunity that we have had. And we are going to pray to God and ask the Lord to make of us true men and women, teachers of the word, and to put it into practice in our spiritual life as well, that we may be doers of the word of God. We are also going to, in our prayer, ask the Lord that he may work miracles and wonders and manifest himself, that you may ask for your petitions, the wishes of your heart, your petitions in this evening. God knows what you have. But it's very important that you remind the Lord. He doesn't forget, but he likes for you to speak to him as a friend. Everything that you want God to give him, to deliver you from, to make you a wise and knowledgeable person. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, Holy Father, Creator of the heavens and of the earth, our God, Almighty, our King, our God, who had mercy and love, and you humbled yourself so that we could be seen by you, so that you would look upon us with eyes of mercy and love, so that we could have this privilege of being here before you, O Lord, before the knowledge of your word and your doctrine. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege. Although we are not worthy among the millions of people, and yet we are here receiving your blessings, the benefit of your love and your mercy, of your promises, of your holy word. Thank you, eternal God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our eternal righteous God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom you made these marvelous promises to, that we are living today. Thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy. We worship you. We give you the glory and the honor and the worship, because you are our true God, our Creator. Thank you, Lord, that everyone may worship you, that everyone may know you, that all nations may humble themselves before you and acknowledge that you are God, that you are a merciful, true God that lives, that speaks, that manifests himself to hearts, a God that transforms lives. Thank you, Holy Father. Your love is eternal. Your mercy endures forever. Your promises are faithful and true. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. The honor is yours. The glory is yours. Lord, in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, I ask you, my Lord, that you extend your powerful hand upon each brother and sister, child, the elderly, of all ages. Extend your powerful hand upon each of their heads, that you may give them blessings, material and spiritual blessings, and spiritual prosperity, and material prosperity as well, O Lord. Give them all that they wish for in their heart, the petitions that there are in their hearts, their wishes, O Lord. Fulfill all of their needs, and deliver those who have been captive, those who have been scourged with witchcraft, sorcery, curses. Lord, deliver each person. Break those spiritual bonds. Remove all curses, all spiritual bonds and traps of the wicked one. Heal all illnesses. Remove all pain, all ailments. Look upon those who are in a wheelchair, those who cannot speak, who cannot hear, who cannot see, those who cannot reason, those who cannot express themselves. Holy Father, have mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. You are power. You are love. You are mercy. You are our divine doctor. Thank you, my Father. Bless all of the brothers and sisters. Bless, O Lord, all of those who are trusting in you, waiting for you. Those, O Lord, who wait in your mercy and your love and your word, in your promises. Thank you, eternal God, powerful God. We praise you and we give you the honor, the glory, and the worship, O Lord. Thank you in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. Thank you, Lord. The worship is yours. Chorus 169, 169. Grande es Jehová. Y muy digno de ser alabado en la ciudad de nuestro Dios, en su monte santo, hermosa provincia, es el gozo de toda la tierra. Es norte la ciudad del gran rey, es el monte de Sion, a los lados del norte la ciudad del gran rey. Grande es Jehová y muy digno de ser. Es el gozo de toda la tierra, es el monte de Sion, a los lados del norte la ciudad del gran rey. Glory to my Lord. Praised and glorified is our God. Thanks we give to the King, our Father. And the blessings of the Lord will not delay, but very soon you will be seeing all of the blessings that God has given today. The changes in life as well. Many changes in life will happen, and prosperity in all aspects for many. The Lord has healed many as well. Therefore, love our God with all of our hearts. Thank you very much. See you very soon, my beloved brothers and sisters. May God bless you all. Thank you to all of you.